Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Colossians 3, 18 to 25. But what's really important about this reading is that if you read it in isolation, you are going to come away with the wrong picture. Because this is how people can take a piece out of the Bible and they can say, I'm going to give it my own slant. I'm going to give it the way that I want to see this, and I'm going to tell you how to interpret it. And I normally do this by way of putting a heading. And when I put a heading, the heading separates the previous section from the section that I want you to focus on. It also means that when I go and teach about that section, I can teach it without context. And I can apply the context that I want to apply. And that is just completely wrong. It's not how this was written. When the apostles and everybody else that wrote anything in the Bible, they never wrote it as a legalistic document. What do I mean by legalistic document? When you look at any legal document, you will see it will have different clauses. And part of the legal framework is to say headings are for convenience, don't use it for interpretation. And they also say that if one clause can't be enforced, then the others still stand. So they separate things out so that they can use bits and pieces to do whatever they want to do. That's not how the Bible was written. From end to end, every single book, not one of those books were ever written to be carved up, stuck together, and things like that. And so this is why it is so important not to cherry pick a verse here or a there or whatever, or to go to commentaries to try and read what this was supposed to mean or whatever. No, read the whole thing as it was written, cover to cover. And, you know, I'm on my 30th time now, and I've got to tell you, I still learn so much because I do not stick to these different things of chapter numbers, verse numbers, headings. I just read it as it was written. And so I really encourage you to do the same. There's another thing that they've done with the chapter numbers. They've moved the last verse, which is really the most important verse. They've moved it into the next chapter because they wanted masters to be able to do whatever they wanted. They wanted anyone who was in charge of anyone to be able to do whatever they wanted. They wanted their legal system, their government framework, to override the Bible. They did not want to be submitting to the Bible. Thus, they moved this one verse out. So, the last verse, which is outside of what is written down, in your handbook. Your handbook stops at verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 1 reads, Masters, give unto servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Right? So, hierarchy is here to stay because Moses introduced it at the insistence of Satan through Jethro, his father-in-law, right? Anyway, that's done. In heaven, we know that's not the way things work. Everyone is a different part of the body. No one has mastery over anyone excepting God over all, because he's in all everywhere, right? But in this world, we have this hierarchy and we have this master and servants thing. And he's saying here Masters, give unto servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. In other words, if you don't treat your people right, then you are going to be in serious trouble. Because your master is going to sort you out. He's going to deal with you the way that you deal with others. Right, so just bear that in mind when we get to verse 18. Now let's go and get the context. Let me read that through. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify. Remember what mortify means? Mortify means kill, right? Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Now, when he says your members, he's not talking about killing off people. He's talking about your body with its desires. You need to get rid of those things, right? Those different desires that live within you. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye. And above all these things, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of him. So, here we have the whole context. He is writing to people who will obey all of these things. And because these people will obey all of these things, they are good, and there's goodness in them. And all these things that lock down and lock away those who would try and rule over, lord over, manipulate, take, and do all those things, whether they be individuals, companies, governments, or whatever, or just basic bullies, or whatever the case is, any of these. This next part does not apply to those people, does not apply to any of those. If you are not one of these that have now died to this old kind of life, this old way. So if you have not died to this old way, then you can't claim that others should treat you in this way. Right? There's no ways that you can use manipulation or any other kind of type of control with this next section. So let's read now. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things, masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So, wives and husbands, right? Wives, you submit because your husband does Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Husbands, you don't get it so easy, right? You've got to just love your wife and be not bitter against them. You don't have a choice. Now, when people are living together, right, they have no rights to any of these statements because we're talking about a wife. A wife is somebody that God has joined together with a husband. And by the way, they are always opposite sex. So the wife will be a female and the husband will be a male. And there's no other way that this works. Nobody can use these verses to try and manipulate or control or twist or bend society into whatever they want. No, you can't do that. God is very simply stating, that's how I created things. That's how it works. When you get married, this now applies. Right? So, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Your own husband. Right? As it is fit in the Lord. When it says, as it is fit in the Lord, go back and read the Bible and find out what God considers a healthy relationship. That is how you submit to your husband. Husbands, love wives and be not bitter against them. It's very easy for a husband to get uptight because his wife is angry about something or dissatisfied about something or whatever the case is. Husbands, you have to understand. Men, you have to understand. Women are designed to sense their environment. They are designed to interact in a level that you don't interact with them. You don't interact with the environment that way. And a lot of that is what we call emotions. And actually, that's so shallow, it's pointless using those words. But what it really means is that without words, women interact with what's going on around them. And when they do, they can appear to the man, who is purely a logical creature, as irrational. They're not being irrational. They're interacting in ways with things that you can't see, don't understand, don't know what's going on. They're being affected by things because they're very close to the spiritual veil. They will be influenced by the spiritual side much sooner than a man will. And it's up to the man to understand that to love his wife and to encourage her to see what's really going on, so that she doesn't have to feel hurt when there isn't something to hurt about, because she can rebuke that spirit. But at the same time, if she is feeling hurt about something, it doesn't mean that just because you can't see it, it's not something that she needs to deal with. Because again, it's an emotional, spiritual level, which doesn't make sense. Notice here, it doesn't say anywhere that the wife has to love her husband. The wife doesn't have to sacrifice for her husband. This is a one-way deal. The husband will love the wife. But at the same time, the wife will submit to the husband, because the husband has been given spiritual discernment in ways that the wife doesn't have, and she needs that guidance. She needs to learn to rely on it, and she needs to make sure that she doesn't just totally reject it and throw it out the window. It's a very important partnership. But again, this only applies if you are going to be that person who is operating in love and kindness and all the other things that you saw in Colossians 3, verse 1 through to 17. If the husband is an angry wife beater, that doesn't comply. He does not comply to Colossians 3, 1 to 17. Wife does not have to submit to an angry wife beater. No. Husbands, love wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands have been given a spiritual element that the wife doesn't have. She can detect what's going on spiritually. He has the authority over it. As a husband and wife, you are very, very powerful, but you need to work together. Why do you think Satan is trying to separate marriages all the time? They're too powerful for him. He needs to separate them out. He needs to create this problem and issue so that they don't talk to each other nor work together properly. Children, obey parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, a child who is told to allow themselves to be sexually abused, sorry, that parent does not comply to Colossians 3, 1 to 17. The child doesn't have to obey that, because that's not well-pleasing to the Lord. It is obedience to God's word. It's obedience to that. Fathers, provoke not your children. Now, I notice here that the words to anger is in italics. So we've got to take that out, right? So ignore that in your Bibles. Take a pen, draw a line through it. It was never there. Fathers, provoke not your children. It doesn't matter if they go to anger or not. And how do you do this? Well, you go back to Colossians 3, 1 to 17, and you as a father comply to that, and you will not provoke. And children, go back to Colossians 3, 1 to 17, and read it, and understand that when your dad is acting in a certain way, according to Colossians 3, 1 to 17, you need to understand that he's not provoking you. The world can say you're being provoked. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, the world is redefining definitions for everything. You've got to come back and you've got to look at these Colossians 3, 1 to 17 again and say, that's what I need to be. And by the way, how do I apply it? Where do I apply it? That is what we're going through at the moment. Servants, obey in all things, masters according to the flesh. Again, all things? What kind of masters? The master that tells you to go and kill somebody else? No, of course not, because they are acting outside Colossians 3:1-17. And of course, Colossians 3:1-17 is based off the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're sticking to the Ten Commandments, you're probably not going to run into too many of these other issues. What I do like about Colossians 3:1-17 is that it gives quite a lot of practical detail around the emotional issues that you have to navigate through when dealing with spirits. Right? Spirits, they will invoke emotions within you. And you need to just tell those spirits and rebuke them in the name of Jesus to leave. Rebuke means you stand against them. Right? It's not like just a chase away. You're not waving them away. You're taking a stance that they realize, well, I can't come there because he just keeps blocking it, or he is standing in the way. Servants, obey in all things, masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases. What is eye service? It means I am just doing this so that you will see me. So when you come around the corner, and I know that you're coming around the corner, I'll quickly pick up this and I will work on it so that you think that I'm working. So now I'm pleasing you because I am just kind of doing the surface work, making it look right. I'm sort of cleaning things, but I don't move stuff around, don't move the furniture or anything because you know what? You're not going to see that. So you know what? I'm just pleasing you by what it looks like, right? Not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. God knows what's underneath the couch. God knows what you are choosing not to do. God knows where your heart really is. And if you're afraid of God in a healthy way, you will do what's right. Right? Now we talk about every human being, right? And whatsoever ye do, do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. This is your key. Remember, we're talking about knowledge here, right? We're talking about knowledge as something that you need for your earth suit. We've got the context of Colossians 3:1-17. We've got the relationships where knowledge needs to be applied and when and how and whether or not you should in fact be submitting or doing all of those things. Husbands, you have to love, doesn't matter. So that's just not, it doesn't matter what your wife does or doesn't do. Right? If your wife is beating you up, then of course you can always go for a divorce because she's not sticking to Colossians 3:1-17 either, right? And whatsoever ye do, do heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Anything you do for anybody at any time, whether it's something you do for yourself or it's something that you're doing for others, you are doing it for the one who now is your master. You are doing it for God. You're doing it for Jesus because God's bought you. You are His now. There are so many benefits to being His, but you're not just there to be yourself and your own and run around and do whatever you please. Satan will let you do that, but it's going to kill you in the end, and it'll be a horrible, fiery world that you have to live in for eternity. When I say fiery, You can't see anybody, touch anybody, smell anybody. You can't do any of those things that give you any kind of response. You can't talk to them. You can't communicate. You can't. You are in nothingness. That's why the closest thing that can be spoken about is fire. But actually, nothingness is a lot worse than fire. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. God is not going to give anyone any favor over another. None whatsoever. So don't think, oh yeah, I'm a pretty good Christian, so, you know, God's going to favor me over somebody else. No, he's not. Don't think that, oh, I'm going to be such a great Christian because I'm going to do all these amazing things and I'm going to put everything in and therefore I'm going to be more important in heaven. No, you're not. God has created places for everyone because he's already outside of time. He knows who's going to do what and how it's going to end up. He already knows that. He's already made provision. But it's wrong for us to think that we can manipulate this. We can't. And therefore, what Jesus said is true. Your humility will keep you in. Your humility will keep you in safely with God. And then we go on to chapter 4, verse 1, which makes people realize this thing around masters. Masters, give unto servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Anyone in any form of authority, whether it's a father with a child, whether it is a husband and wife relationship, whether it is a master and servant, whether it is an employer-employee, whether it is any kind of relationship where there is some form of authority, you have to understand you are in grave danger as the one who is in charge. Because what you do to others, God is surely going to visit on you. How does this speak into knowledge? This knowledge of Colossians 3, 1-17, of who you have now become, you have to live like who you now are. The knowledge of who you are has to be there permanently. You can't get any of these things right, correctly, with God, the way he has laid it out, if you approach the things you do, the world you're in, the people you meet, if you approach them as somebody of the world. You're going to miss all of this and you're going to get yourself into trouble. The only way is to constantly be aware of who you are. Now, I have a piece of Velcro band, got writing on from my wife on it. And it says, "Praise ye the Lord Jesus Christ, for his mercy forever and ever." And it's been on my arm now for nearly 7 years. It's faded, but messed up, but it's there. It doesn't come off. It's sewn on. It's sewn on. So I'm not going to do the tattoo thing because God says don't, but I have this on. And it's a constant reminder for me. It's on my right hand. So when I'm writing, when I'm doing anything, it's on my right hand to remind me that this is like a tag on my earth suit. It's a tag on my earth suit. It's not me. This is not me. And that I am the Colossians 3, 1 to 17. And therefore my relationships in Colossians 18 through to 25 have got to fall in line with the fact that I am a spirit and I belong to God. And I have to approach everything I do as the Spirit. I have to choose God's ways, God's laws, God's heart. The world doesn't like me because I don't do things the way the world wants things done. But that doesn't matter. The Lord opens little doors, little gaps from here to there, or whatever the case is, opportunities for this, that, and the next thing. But I've learned that I have to be true to who God actually made me. And the strange thing is that everybody around me benefits because of it. Because I treat them right. Because I treat them in those good ways. Because I treat them right. Because I treat them in those good ways. It's when they want me to do all the bad stuff together with them, that's when things don't work so well, because I simply won't do that. The knowledge of who you really are is what counts. You have to recognize who you are. Now, if you take these things in Colossians 3, 1 to 17, and you go through and you tick them off, you make them on a list, and you say, okay, yes, that one I've got, that one, this one I'm working on, or whatever the case is, you'll at least get some kind of a idea how you're progressing in those different areas. All right. I'm not angry anymore. I am kind. All these different things. You have to have knowledge of who you are. And in a way, you've got to remember who you used to be, but don't aim for being who you used to be. Aim for being what you are now. You have got a new nine-dimensional spirit. It is different. Its default settings are different. So, choose to know yourself as you should be. And make sure that you keep yourself in line. Make sure that your relationships are the way God intended them to be. Make sure that you change you into what God is saying you need to be. By the way, God does that changing you. Just got to give him permission. Those without knowledge of themselves are unable to succeed at anything, because everything they build will not last. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.